Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
You are about to enter another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land of guns. Next stop, Slamfire Radio.
That was awesome.
Was that a little bit over the top,
or was
that
great?
Oh, perfect. I wasn't sure.
Everybody stays quiet when you do cool intros, but when I do a cool intro, everyone interrupts me.
Because I don't say titillating, basically, is why.
And I don't remember you being interrupted.
Oh.
And I don't remember, Trevor, you being that echoey. You're really echoey right now. Yeah,
over there.
You broke it.
I'm working on it.
You're, like, way too loud. So, as you can tell, we have Luke with us. And Luke has gone ahead and screwed up the podcast.
Thanks.
So, Luke, welcome to the show, man. Thanks.
Trevor's personal IT guy over there.
So Luke is back. Luke is not really our guest this week. He's just kind of along for the ride and, the fourth commenter, really. Basically somebody for us to make fun of while we do the regular show.
Once you've been on the show once, you're no longer a guest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Luke, why don't you fill us in on everything Trevor's about to tell us?
I wish I knew. I can't see because I'm kind of hidden under a blanket right now.
You guys got. I wish you listeners could see his setup. Apparently, the two mics in the same room as you just heard a second ago, kind of screws with the audio there. So he's under a kind of a soundproof blanket, which clearly isn't, and it's kind of broadcasting from his own little tent in Trevor's man cave.
I'm going to email a picture to the show, and we'll put it on the Facebook page.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. So, Luke, why don't you go ahead and tell us
at
what you've done?
Luke, you're not in the same situation I was, where Trevor wanted to be under the blanket with me.
Well, see, originally Trevor had suggested that we kind of sit next to each other and each have an earbud in each ear, kind of sharing the microphone. And I pictured it for a minute, and I just don't know him all that well yet.
I don't understand why he didn't want to breathe my breath. I just snuggle up on the love seat in the man cave and let's podcast, Luke. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
What's the big deal?
Yeah. And no, that was not going to happen.
Well, before this turns into a Craigslist personals ad, why don't you tell us a little bit what you did with guns this week?
I did not do very much with guns this week. I've been on the road pretty much all week, so the only thing that was qualified as close to doing anything with guns was the delivery that I made for Trevor today. That was about it.
He's my mule.
I am.
Well, then I guess that rolls us right into Trevor.
What about Owen? No, he's still typing.
What about Owen? Yeah.
Owen just showed up to the show after the interview that he just did.
Yeah.
I renewed my CSSA membership because the renewal for that came in the mail right after my new NFA membership card arrived. And my NFA card arrived with the insurance. So it's $5 million liability insurance. And it talks about, you know, as long as you're involved in legal hunting or legal shooting activities where it's lawful to do so, yada, 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 you're covered for up to $5 million liability. So that's pretty cool. For $10
that
a year.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And
well, hey, that just goes to show how safe this sport really is.
That.
If it's only $10, then clearly the underwriters understand that, you know, shooting sports are not dangerous, or at least not nearly as dangerous as something, you know, violent like chess.
That's right. And sadly, I have to report I canceled my new AR build. It just...
Is that because the CSSA membership is too much?
Yeah. No, just, you know, it quickly added up, and I'm like, it's Christmas, and I'm going to build myself an AR. Shouldn't I be spending that money on... Yeah.
Yes, and a Merry Christmas it shall be.
So, no, I decided to put it off for now. So,
All right.
And then between last night and tonight, I loaded 2,000 rounds of 9mm for somebody else, not even for myself. But so, anyway, in an effort to get to my press to use for myself, I had to get this guy's stuff out of my house. I told him I'd help him load some ammo, and he showed up with like 5,000 rounds. I'm cleaning his brass. I'm reloading his ammo. But he paid me in brass. He had a whole bunch of picked brass from the Nationals, so I got all this 40 and all this 5.56 in exchange. So it's all right. But next time, bring beer. That's all I'm saying. and then last night, I fitted the Avtec extractor to the STI. I had threw it into the TruBore, and then called Sean Hansen at Freedom Ventures, and he gave me a tip about the firing pin block needing to be rounded to allow the extractor to pivot onto the firing pin block, and it was pivoting, but I got out the calipers, and it called for a certain amount of tolerance in there, and so I went to work on that a little bit, tested it just with some dummy ammo and some empty cases and stuff, and it's not a true test, I guess, but so far so good. And that's really it. It's been a really boring week. Up until yesterday, I did nothing. Started loading cool. ammo and did that extractor thing.
So you're all practiced up for loading nine?
Yes, I'll be ready for sure. And like I said, get this Sweet. Guy's stuff out of the room so I can work on our stuff.
Awesome. Can't wait. And by can't wait, I mean I can't wait for you to do it.
It'd be a pleasure.
Awesome. All right. Well, Owen, what did you get up to?
Well, we got out and shot a little bit, and I won't go into too much of that because I know you're going to talk about that.
Well, you can talk about it too. I mean,
yeah. Well, we went to the range and shot some guns, and
I forgot.
Shot some video.
I watched a really cool video this week.
Oh, good. Well, that rounds out what you've done way more. Oh, see, I was feeling that we were missing something, but then you met. Oh, you watched a video.
Of you guys.
Oh. Right. Oh, well, in that sense, that is epic.
I commented on it. I liked it. And I even shared it on Facebook, you jerk.
Oh, I didn't see the comments. I'll have to go look at those.
They were like, Owen, you look dashing as always. Who's the geek with you?
Sounds about right. Yeah. No, I think I deleted that one because that's what I do. It's my channel.
So I went and shot some guns. It was a little bit chilly, but wasn't too bad.
It wasn't that bad, though. I mean, the forecast was like minus 20, and we woke up as like minus 14, which was still kind of cool, but I didn't wear my gloves the whole time I was there, which is weird for me.
No, as good Canucks, we braved the weather, but we didn't have a lot of time. We were a little bit pressed for time, so we didn't get any extra shooting in, just what we needed for the video. And I kind of made the decision this week that I'm going to be running for the president of the local Rifle and Pistol Club.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Do you need a campaign manager?
No, it's not going to be much of a campaign. I don't. I'm going to steal Obama's slogan.
No, don't do that.
Hope and change.
Just change.
Change. We're going to lower the price on the membership, so you're going to get some change.
Here's where Obama fell down, and where I need you to finish the job correctly.
Yeah, implement that website properly.
The website will work. Don't worry.
No, all he said was change. He didn't say it would be good change. So you need to say good change or change for the better good or positive change. Just clarify, you know.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple other guys that are running, and so anyway, if it works out, then we've got some there'll be some positive change. Hopefully, we got some ideas on how to organize things a little better and. It will make it the range more representative of the membership.
That'll be nice. I mean, nothing sucks more than having an administration that doesn't represent the people, if you will. Kind of like, every pretty much country in the world.
Yeah. Well, we have 75% of our membership is restricted owners.
Right. And 75% of your range is dedicated to non-restricted. It's a rifle range. It needs to be more of a pistol.
And I mean, I'm sure a lot of these people are simply members because they have to be. But that doesn't mean.
But if you can make if you can make that range a fun place to shoot your pistols, they're going to want to come out and shoot more.
Exactly, and they'll want to be doing organized shooting sports, and that's how you're going to grow, an active club. So, I don't want to be president forever. I want to get in, do my thing, get out.
So you're not going to vote yourself in for that extra term?
No, I will not be. Be letting myself be nominated after this term is over, if I get in at all, and who knows, that may not happen. So, the yearly meetings are nothing like the regular meetings. The regular meetings you have about the same 10 or 12 people show up, and during the yearly AGMs we might have anywhere from 30 to 75 people show up. So,
So how does this work? You're going to just kind of all of a sudden you all meet together and then you vote? Or do you get a chance to talk about what you're going to do before they vote?
I've never been to an AGM, so I don't have the foggiest idea.
I should probably look into that.
Well, I don't care. I mean, if I have to stand up and say something, I'll stand up and say something. But
it would be nice if you can. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to just go up and, who's that guy? Oh, he's got a beard. Let's vote for him.
I've talked to as many people that I know in the club. And I've told them this, and other people you know, here's what I would like to do, a very general idea.
Yep.
Take over.
Yeah, go, if you talk to people that if you think they're interested in, you know, if you think they would be people that would want to, you know, that they would like to see these changes in general, tell them to come out, you know, and make sure they come to the meeting and vote. You know, I'm not like campaigning, you know, and trying to stack the deck or anything because
Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, but I'm not that into it.
Yeah, you want to campaign fairly. Yeah. You want to make sure that you're not going to, you know, you got to do at least what the other guy's doing and then maybe a bit more.
As of right now, I don't even know if there's anybody else that's nominated. I might be a shoo-in.
Remember, Owen.
That'll be all right,
it's
too.
Shaking babies and kissing hands. Don't get those two confused.
Don't worry, I know how to politic. anyway, so that's kind of gun-related.
Of course it's gun-related. That's gun-related of the most epic kind because you're getting involved with your local range. I mean, how much more can you get involved?
The interesting thing, though, that if I get elected and implement some of the things I want to implement, it will actually I will have to step away from something like IPSC.
Right, because you and I were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, right now, I mean, I'm kind of the driving force in Woodstock for IPSC.
I object. Yeah.
And I don't agree with, I believe in at least one degree of separation between the people running the club in general and doing things for the good of the club and the little mini clubs. Well, hear me out.
You think IPSC grew in Restigo because we stacked the executive with IPSC members.
Yeah, hear me out. And
but you're being logical.
All the mini clubs inside of the club. Because right now we have the opposite situation where we have everybody's membership being spent on something that really has nothing to do with the members of the club.
And it's because people are involved with a part of the club that doesn't benefit everybody, and those are the people who are in charge of the money. So I understand. Yeah, you want to have at least, you know, a degree of separation so that there's that objectivity.
Yes, exactly.
So that the money gets spent properly instead of, you know, a bias being thrown into the mix.
Here's how you solve that, gentlemen. You develop sections. You have a pistol section, a rifle section, a shotgun section, and each section has its own bank account.
Or that's what I plan on doing.
Or if you don't want to have multiple bank accounts, the director for each section submits a budget every year. This is how much it's going to cost to operate the trap section at our club. And if they need more money, then they have to go back to the executive. It has to be voted on.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's very simple to set up. I mean, you don't need different bank accounts. You can have one bank account and simply make it an accounting, you know, separation. So it's very simple to do. But, yeah, basically that's what would happen is we'd have different committees inside of the club that would, you know, operate the various sections. And they would have a budget, an allowance, so to speak. And then whatever they can, you know, raise from shoots that they do or fundraisers they do or whatever they want to do, you know, that's their money. But they'll get, you know, they can get so much from the club every year to run their sport. But anyway, a lot of those sorts of changes where right now we've just got one giant pot and whoever can basically convince the members to give them money out of the pot for their pet project gets the money. So there needs to be a little more kind of control and organization on that, I think. But anyway, we don't want to talk about that all day. I ordered some Glock sights.
Cool. What kind of sights?
What Trevor?
The sideways ones, right?
Yes, I got some Glock offset sights.
Trigicon night sights, perhaps?
Yes, I did. Yep, I got the Trigicon HD. HD gun sights. Now I got the ones that have a bright orange circle outline on the front sight, and nothing but the Trigicon on the back.
That'll be cool. You have that contrast with orange.
Because I have a big problem focusing on my front sight. So this should really make the front sight stand out majorly both night and day. And with, you know, you'll still see the back, but they'll be less, you'll be less likely to focus on them.
Less yep. prominent, yeah. That's cool. Let us know how yeah. they work.
Well, hopefully I'll have them here in a week or two, and it's December the 6th, so they should be here actually tomorrow, but I probably won't get them until next week. And I got a flashlight for my shotgun, for my KSG.
Ooh, what kind of flashlight?
Nothing real fancy, just an Ultrafire Cree. A bit of a cheapo, but it comes with a remote and rechargeable batteries and a charger and different stuff. It's supposed to be 1,000.
Okay, what kind of lumen, kind of output? Lumen. That'll probably do, I guess. I mean, if you just want to read at night under
yeah,
the covers.
Hopefully it doesn't like melt the handguard on my KSG.
1,000 lumens. That's about as bright as your headlights. That's, oh, yeah. You know, that's getting
that's
up there.
That's what you want. I don't want them to see yeah. me shooting at them. Whoever
no.
Is.
No. They won't even see the muzzle flash with that kind of brightness.
And this isn't really gun related, but I did buy a survival knife.
Well, that's definitely
yeah,
knife related.
So we'll see how that.
And seeing as this is a knife show. Oh, no, wait. So tell me about this survival knife.
It's a Mora Bushcraft survival knife. So I guess there's a couple different versions. It's a carbon steel, which I like in a knife, as opposed to stainless.
So why do you like carbon over stainless? Just getting some metallurgy here
yeah,
for,
well, there's
for
a few
a while,
reasons.
You know, 'cause why
one,
not?
It tends to hold a better edge longer, and it's easier uh-huh. to get that edge on it. Yeah.
Oh, really? So why do a lot of people go with stainless
because
then?
It's
just
cheap.
Because they don't rust? Oh, because it's cheap.
Yeah. Carbon steel has a pretty high anti-rusting, you know, qualities to it. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess there is the potential there for rust if you left it in water or didn't get it dry. But it has like sure. a black coating on it or whatever to protect it. But, yeah, stainless is cheap. They can pump it out cheap. There's, you know, no maintenance. But I've had a few stainless knives, and they're awful to get sharp. And they're the generic stainless. There is a few stainless alloys that are okay. They're pretty good, but they're really expensive too. So I always go carbon steel. The other reason for survival purposes is that you can use carbon steel to spark, you know, a flint or something and get a bit decent sparks for start.
Yeah, I've done fire starting with a stainless steel knife blade and a ferrocerium rod. And you're right, the stainless steel knives do take quite a bit more effort to get a good solid spark going. I've noticed that the carbon steel ones do produce quite a yep. bit better sparks. Yep.
And off natural materials, I think it would be almost essential, almost, you know, a requirement to have a carbon. I mean, I'm sure it can be done, but anyway.
By natural, you mean not using gasoline.
Or a special rod, you know, like to strike straight off of flint or something.
Oh, I see. Using your yep. knife to use actual yep. flint. Yeah, I don't even know if stainless would work. I've never tried it.
I think you have to have carbon. Really. Anyway, it comes with a little fire starter rod and a Kydex sheath with a couple different attachment pieces. And anyway, well,
cool. Now, can you fit it to the end of a stick to turn it into
a
spear?
I'm sure anything with the correct application of duct tape can be.
The correct answer is right there.
So, yeah.
I'd
the
like
only
it.
Other thing I did that's slightly gun related is I also bought a backpack that has a gun sheath built into it.
Well, you can't get any more gun-related than that now, can you? Well, yeah, you can.
Anyway, so that's an Eberle stock low drag, and it's got a gun sheath built into the back of it. So I'm pretty stoked to see how that works for trudging around the woods in the wintertime and carrying some stuff.
That would be cool.
So yeah, that was.
So this would be like a rifle type yes, sheath, I would imagine. Yeah. So what gun are you planning on putting in there?
For the wintertime, usually I'll carry around like just 10/22. More my right. Savage Mark II. You know, I'll just yep. one of my 22s. That I might stick a shotgun in it, except my KSG I think is going to be too short and it'll disappear down inside.
Right. Yeah, probably won't fit. You can probably just put that in your leg yeah. bolster.
So, anyway, other you know, yeah, something like that. So that'll be fun to try.
Cool.
So, I rambled on way too long. So
no, I was good. All right. Well, like Owen said, he and I went to the range and we shot episode 2 of Is It Bulletproof? And Eric, One of Owen's friends, depending on the day, apparently. You'll get that joke in the video, I guess. One of his friends donated a fairly substantial chunk of AR-400 steel. This is 5/16 inch thick steel plate, and we shot it with 22, which of course did absolutely nothing. 9mm, which again did absolutely nothing. And then we got into some rifle rounds. We shot 2-3 at it, 30-30, 7.62x39, 303 out of a Lee Enfield, and 308. Did I miss anything? I think I got them all there. Oh, no, I did. I missed the 12-gauge. Right. We shot it with 12-gauge buckshot and 12-gauge slug. And so show of hands here. Oh, wait. It's a radio show. It was surprising, actually. We were all kind of figuring that the higher end or the bigger end rifles were going to do the most amount of damage. You know, the 308 and the 303. Turns out...
pretty much just bounced off.
Pretty much. I mean, they did leave an impression. They cratered very slightly, but the most damage was caused, in fact, by the 5.56. It left significant cratering, and it surprised all of us.
I'm still blown away because I've shot steel with 5.56 and 7.62x39, and the steel gongs that I have that McIntyre made for me are chewed to heck from being shot with 7.62x39. I always said it's a harder hitting round than 5.56. Now, that being said, I wasn't shooting AR-400 like you guys were.
Right.
And the proof is in the pudding. I watched the video and I was just astounded with the performance of that round. That Bulk Norinco round, no less.
Bulk Norinco,
which, to be said, I mean, it's hot stuff.
It is hot. It's very fast.
But still.
Well, I mean, we assume it's very fast. We haven't chronographed it, but it is very fast from everything we've heard and the way it performs. But, I mean, the way I see it is it's going faster than the 7.62, and it's a smaller surface area. So, of course, it's going to bore in deeper. So, I mean, that's the only way I can kind of figure it out logically is it's going faster and it's smaller. So it's not heavier, not even close to half the weight of the 7.62x39, but just because it has that much speed behind it, and you know, this is such a small surface area, kind of made sense.
Pull one and measure the powder charge. Can't exactly identify the powder that's in it, but
you could shoot one through your chronograph though and see how fast it's going.
It's a good idea.
That'll be fun. So yeah, anyway, you guys can head over to youtube.com/mmat, my YouTube channel, and watch Owen and Eric and I there. Trevor sadly didn't make it in, but that's only because he lives 2 hours away. Otherwise, he would have been in it too. But he'll get in the next one.
We
hopefully
have something planned, you and I.
We certainly do. I
cannot
wait.
End up episode 3, but it'll be in there.
It'll be an episode for sure. Quickly, two other things. Again, my school that I work at is awesome. We had a science fair project the other day, and one of the entries was a railgun. Because why wouldn't you build a railgun for a science fair
project?
There
is no reason.
It was very cool. It was a good presentation on magnetivity and electromagnets and how it all works. So it was not a functioning railgun, unfortunately. But that did not stop us from finding a live round of ammunition in the elementary wing. So that was fun, too.
What?
But no kittens died. The SWAT team wasn't called. Not even that. It just got picked up, turned into the principal, and life went on as normal. You imagine?
Can't imagine. It's not possible.
Common sense carrying on? Anyhow, it was a bit of an interesting week at school, but, you know, nothing cataclysmic by any stretch of the imagination.
Squirrel. I had a kid bring a pellet to school, to my school where I work, to show me the brand of pellet that he uses because we were discussing pellets, and I didn't ask him to do this, but he brought it in the next day based on our conversation to show me the type he uses and said to me, "Mr. Furlot, is this the kind of pellet you were talking about?" And one of the kids saw it and was like, "Oh my God, he's bringing bullets to school." And it was like,
"It's a chunk of lead. Calm yourself."
Idea. And I just took a little education. Still didn't like it, but I educated her on why this was not the end of the world.
You should bring in a chunk, like a large chunk of lead, and go, "Kids, here is a chunk of potential projectiles."
Yeah. See, these are bullets that haven't been made yet. It's like a sculpture.
That's right.
You just have to release it from within the lead.
Well, speaking of releasing stuff, Trevor, why don't you tell us about some of these upcoming events?
Okay. T-shirts are ready to be ordered. Now, we'll if you have requested a T-shirt, the price is $20. We're going to let you know when to send the money because we have to have a discussion amongst ourselves as to how we're going to work out shipping, stuff like that, and who to EMT the money to. But
Well, you can EMT the money to the show.
Okay, EMT the money.
Because it doesn't matter where the email goes, so long as the person depositing it has access to that email, they can deposit it. So you can, anybody who's sending an EMT, simply send it to slamfireradio@gmail.com.
So the t-shirts are $20 plus shipping, and we'll have to figure out the shipping and let you know.
I think we can call it $25 because I'm pretty sure I can ship those for $5
or less.
So
it's been decided. EMT, if you ordered a t-shirt for $25 each, EMT that to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now, next question, Matthew. Somebody has requested colors. I thought we were just doing black. Are we going to entertain color orders?
They can have any color they want as long as it's black.
Okay. For realty, though. Are we just?
I believe black is a good choice for now. I don't know. Let's hold off. Anybody who wants a color T-shirt, don't send your money till next week because I will verify that we can get colors this week.
Somebody wants a purple.
Purple and green, I believe, were the two colors, which I think would look great.
Offensive.
I think it can be done.
Well, if you send, they can send their order and say, well, I guess they've already placed their orders, haven't they?
Yeah. So they want green, and if we can do it, we'll send you green. If not, you're getting black.
Exactly. So send your money because you'll get a green or.
You're going to get a T-shirt one way or another. You ordered it,
it's too late.
Send your money.
Give us our money.
He's coming for you. The charity shoot. Steve Lee is booked to attend. It'll be at the Restigouche Gun Club in New Brunswick. The date is June 28th, and I know we're getting new listeners to the show every week, so I'll just briefly explain so that they can know what the charity shoot is. For 4 years now, Canadian podcasters have been holding a charity shoot. We choose a charity, and all the money raised at this shoot is donated to that charity. Every year is slightly different shooting format. What we'll be doing in Restigouche is a day-long event. It'll start off in the morning with trap shooting. Small bore silhouette shooting. Small bore silhouette is when you take a .22 rifle and you shoot it at metal targets that are cut out in the shapes of chickens, rams, turkeys, pigs, and
zombies. Definitely zombies. I think you nailed them all.
It doesn't matter. It's for fun.
Okay.
We're not right. getting.
I'm gonna do it this year.
We just did anything last year. It didn't matter. And then we'll have some just free-for-all rifle shooting where we'll all share a common firing line and we'll be shooting at zombie targets donated by a stormtrooper clone. Don't ask. After that, we'll go to the back portion of the range and have a unsanctioned, fun club level, call it whatever you want. It'll be an IPSC style match. IPSC rules will apply. Black badge is not mandatory. You do require a handgun with a holster that covers the trigger guard. Shoot, I'll even let you shoot rimfire, but I won't count your scores. How's that? After that,
I'm in.
After that, we're going to go to the pistol section coordinator's camp for a little acoustic concert with Steve Lee and a bonfire and maybe some wobbly pops. Maybe that's funny. And we'll wrap up the evening there. The next event on the calendar, it's not necessarily a podcast specific event, but a lot of the podcasters will be there as well. And that is the Restigouche Gun Club's Level 3 IPSC match known as SummerSlam. This will be SummerSlam 8, and the dates for that will be July 18th to 20th. So that is our premier match that we have every year at my club.
Registration open yet?
No, and that's what, there's some danger in announcing the dates officially because people are going to start bombarding sales with emails. I want to register. Yeah. He's not ready to take registration until like March. I'm going to get
awesome. Eight. Well, we've got a minute left in this section, so wrap up with the rest of the events here,
wrap
if you can.
Wrap up all you needed to say. And then he went on and on. Now I have less than a minute. The Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course is we're aiming for August 2nd and 3rd, the date tentative. Two-day shooting course. One day is the course itself on the range. And then the next day is a mini match, an IPSC-style mini match. And the course is now full, and we already have one person on the waiting list. So... You know, people drop off the list, so go ahead and put your name on the list. Anyway, And then the three-gun match, which is also at the Gabriel Squish Gun Club, will be August 16th and 17th, and we're going to have it'll be a two-day match this year with 12 stages.
That's going to be awesome. Now, we should mention that, did you mention that it's the Practical Armed Response Academy with Tommy Nelson of the Gun Dudes?
It's the Practical Armed Response Academy, yeah.
All right, close enough then. All right. Awesome. Well, you got in just under the wire because I'm editing and I can make anything work. So let's talk to Tiffany.
All right. Tiffany we'll introduce her. Let's go for it.
All right. And joining us now, we have Tiffany. So welcome to the show. Tiff, can I call you Tiff? Is that all right? Or do you hate that?
Oh, no, absolutely. That's fine.
Because this is basically the first time I've ever spoken to you, so I have no idea.
No, that's okay. I'm fairly easygoing. You can call me Tiff.
Very good. Well, Tiff, you're Trevor's old university roommate, apparently. You live in Maine, and apparently you're a longtime gun nut. That's how Trevor describes you anyway.
Yeah, you can kind of say that.
At the very least, sibling to a gun nut.
Yes, I'm definitely sibling to a gun nut.
It has a tendency to rub off.
It's true. It is true. Yes. He likes to be called a gun enthusiast, though.
That's just because he's snobby.
we all do, though. If I understand, or if I remember correctly, can I say your brother's name? Is that all right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He won't care.
Derek is not a Glock fan?
Not really. I've never known him to really, you know, get all excited about Glocks.
Are you a Glock fan?
What's that?
Are you a Glock fan?
I have actually never shot a Glock. Oh.
Okay, so that was our interview. And
well, as you can tell, Owen is
bad.
A little backstory for my co-host, Tiffany. One American Thanksgiving, which is the wrong Thanksgiving, but anyway, one American Thanksgiving, guys, Tiffany and myself and our other roommate, Jeremy, hopped in my old 1986 Chev F10 extended cab, woohoo, and headed for Maine, and her brother took us to the gun range, and we got to shoot, we were there for quite a long time, and that's where I shot my first Colt 1911. I think it was a Colt, but it was a 1911 and 45 ACP.
And that basically just ruined you for life.
Was, having never shot a Glock, and I picked a fight with him about the gun. I'm like, well, you know a Glock this, you know a Glock that. Like, I really had no clue. I was quoting stuff I read in a magazine, right?
Hey, if it's in a magazine, it's got to be true.
Exactly. So I'm telling him, I'm bragging about how you can take a Glock down with one single tool, the Glock tool, and he's like, come here. And he, like, field strips his 1911 with his bare hands, right? Yeah. So, good time. We shot a 45, we shot a 357 Magnum, it looked like a Smith & Wesson revolver, and I shot my first AR-15 and a couple of hunting rifles. Do you, Tiff, do you know what brand his AR-15 is?
Not off the top of my head, I don't.
No, okay. Does he still have that same AR, you know?
He does. He really does. He doesn't take it out as much, though.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before we get into Trevor's entire history of him shooting with you as opposed to you shooting with him, Tiffany, why don't you tell us and the listeners a little bit about yourself, kind of where you were raised, and then maybe how you got into guns and why you're still involved with them.
Well, I was raised here in Maine. I actually live about 10 minutes from where I grew up. So, pretty much guns have been a family thing. My whole family shoots. There's out of the eight of us, five of us all have our concealed weapons permits. It really stems from my dad's family. My great-grandfather back in the 30s, he was part of a pistol club in Brockton, Massachusetts. And there's this great story about my great-grandmother. She was a seamstress. Every week, my great-grandfather would go to his meeting, and there was one time when they had a match that one of the guys he wasn't going to be there, and so he asked my great-grandmother, if she'd like to come and sit in so that they wouldn't have to forfeit the match. And he said, you don't have to shoot or anything like that. We just need the extra body. And she's like, oh, well, can I shoot? And they're like, well, yeah, sure. We're not going to, take any of your scores. And so she shot and she blew all of them out of the water. Her scores were better than anyone, any of the guys that were there. And she was the only woman there. And from then on, you know, it just became a, you know, she loved to shoot. And it kind of got passed down to my dad. He was a sharpshooter when he was in high school on his rifle club team. And then he went into the military, and they just trained him even more to be a better sharpshooter. And when I was about 17, my brother, you know, the gun nut, said, all right, I'm going to teach you how to shoot. And I was like, okay. So we went to the sand pit out behind my grandmother's house, and the first thing he ever gave me was a 270 Browning hunting rifle. And I, you know, I knew how to, you know, we were taught from a young age that, you know, how to be respectful of handguns and of rifles and how to correctly, you know, use them. But I'd never really shot before, and that was the first time. It was like, ooh, I kind of like the Browning. And then he gave me the 357 mag, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And it was very natural. You know, it felt good. It felt, you know, I knew what I was doing. And then, you know, after he showed me, and it was like, this is great. And my brother begrudgingly admitted to my father that I was a better shot with the 357 Magnum than he was.
I've had that same experience with several female shooters, is they tend to initially be better shots than guys. And I think we've talked about this several times before on the show, but I think it's that, you know, there's no sense of bravado. You girls are just, you know, you're just there and you're just pulling the trigger straight back, exactly what you're supposed to do. And guys are all like, oh, I'm good at this, and they're gripping the gun wrong and they're yanking on the trigger and holding the gun sideways if they're a gangster, you know, all that fun stuff. So yeah, no, it's really nice to hear again, you know, that, you know, females out of the box anyway tend to outshoot guys, which, you know, I have no problem with. I think that's great.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, more women should be getting into it, and really, you know, I think a lot of women would enjoy it without, you know, they don't realize just how much they would enjoy it.
Yep, I agree. It's something you got to get out and actually do to understand.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Tiff, are you a member of any of the local ranges around your area?
I am, actually. I live out here in West Gardner, Maine, and we have the West Gardner Rod and Gun Club. And they have a sweet little range right out back behind the club. You need four-wheel drive three seasons in Maine in order to get to it.
There are three seasons in Maine? We've only got two here in New Brunswick, winter and road repair.
Yeah. Well, we've got mud, we've got black fly.
Right.
So there's several, but winter, mud, and rain season, yeah, you really need four-wheel drive. So,
yeah.
But it's a nice little area. They've got, you know, some really great berms. They've got a sand pile way out at the back. They've got some benches out there. It's really nice.
You should see about organizing a ladies' night and invite some of your colleagues.
You know, I actually had thought about that. My friend Melissa, she loves to shoot. She actually goes out and she hunts. She, you know, she goes out on her own and hunts. She's awesome. We talked about that. So it's definitely something that, you know, we're going to look forward to in the future, I think.
And how are the, if you want to tell us where you work, and then I'll ask the question, you can tell us where you work. How are the attitudes of your colleagues towards, you know, the Second Amendment?
Well, I actually work for a law firm that also does consulting work. And what we do is we do government services. So we're actually at the Maine State House, you know, day in and day out when the legislature's in session. We don't take on any cases that involve guns of any sort or, you know, anything to do, you know, with the right to bear arms. But it's something that I kind of keep in the back of my mind and listen to, you know, when I can. And everybody in my office knows that I shoot. My coworker, she actually went to the concealed weapons course with me. We took it together. So, you know, it's kind of nice to have that person, and then come to find out there's another, like, five women within our firm who went and took a similar course, just in a different part of the state.
That's really cool. That's nice to hear.
Yes, it is. And I was very surprised, too, because she and I had been talking about it one day, and then our human resources director said, oh, I've heard a couple other people, you know, this person took it, and this person, and these three went together, and it was like, really? This is great! You know, I was so excited to hear that, you know, they were going doing this. But it's definitely, you know, something that listening to, we had a after the Newtown shootings, everywhere, you know, was every state was having the whole gun debate, and in Maine, they wanted to, one of our local newspapers wanted to publish all of the names and addresses of anybody with a concealed weapons permit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Pick on the people who are non-felons and doing it right. How is that going to protect anyone?
Exactly. And so I was really kind of keeping tabs on that. And I made as many people as I, you know, could and that I was talking to know that that was one of the stupidest things they could possibly do, because think of all of the people who have been victims of domestic violence who are going to get their permits so that they feel protected, and all of a sudden, oh, now their aggressor knows exactly where they live. I mean, I think that was one of, other people had thought of that as well, and that was one of the reasons that it didn't end up getting passed.
Yeah, it's also a shopping list for criminals.
Exactly.
Now, if they want to put out a list of names and addresses, they should do it for sex offenders and felons.
Well, they do it for sex offenders.
Let's keep track of where those folks are. Oh, you do? Good.
Yeah, we do have a sex offender registry down here.
Are you still on it?
Oh, that's awful.
It's been a while. Come on. I had to get one in. Sorry, carry on.
That's it. I'm sending the picture of you in your kitchen without a shirt on up to you. That's to your friends.
Perfect. That's going on Facebook right away.
The one with the hair and the scraggly beard? Yeah, yeah, that one's going up.
Do you want the one of you in the toilet?
All right. Let's bring this back to guns.
Sorry. Squirrel.
All right, so, well now since we're on the topic of CCW, you told me basically right away, a couple of years ago, I think now, when you were going to get it. What made you finally decide to get it? You mentioned that everybody in your family has it. Is that why you're like, I'm the only one left in the family who doesn't have it? What was the motivating factor?
Well, actually, I was the third one in my family to get it. My sister and my brother-in-law got it after me. My brother had it and my dad had it, and it was more so I was living on my own, and where I work, you know, I end up having to work late at night sometimes, and it was just kind of it's nice to have that thought in the back of my mind that I can protect myself if I'm walking at night, you know, by myself because I don't have somebody to go with me, or, you know, I'm living by myself, I know where there is a loaded weapon in my house if, you know, someone were to break in. That was the biggest factor, was just more of a home protection, you know, self-protection. And, you know, knowing that I had two people who have the permits who can carry concealed as well, you know, to kind of guide me through what I needed to do and, you know, keep me knowing what I should be doing, paying attention, you know, how to go from the house to the car when I'm wearing, you know, something that's concealed, because you've got to have a different mindset than just walking out the door, you know, it's different. But that was my biggest concern, was home protection.
Excellent. And well, and you don't even really need the CCW for home protection. I mean, we can use firearms to protect ourselves in our homes up here in the Kanuckistan. But so do you carry every day now that you have it? And be honest, you carry every day. Awesome.
I do. Yes, a lot of people wonder why I carry a gigantic purse. And well, part of that is because, you know, you can kind of see bulges in small purses, whereas in big purses, it kind of goes unnoticed.
Now, do you have it in a holster inside the purse as well, or just in the purse?
No, I have a pocket inside the purse that it sits in.
Awesome. Okay. And your brother bought you a 380.
He did.
And yes. What kind of 380 was that again?
It's a Highmark 380.
A Highmark. Oh, I thought it was a High Point.
Is it a High Point?
I think it's a High Point, yeah. Matter of fact, I know it's a high point, and I'm trying to work towards a joke here. Could we fancy ourselves as gun snobs? And you know, my question is, what? He bought you a high point. Is because is he mad at you? Is he not speaking to you anymore?
Very funny. No, it was something that a friend of his had that, you know, my brother had bought off of him. He thought, you know, it was a good size for me, you know, to start off with as my first pistol that was my own. So
right.
Yes, and now, you know.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I just, and from, you know, from this point on, it's up to me to buy whatever I want, you know, whatever brand, whatever style, so.
And Matthew, I actually sent her a link to a Ruger SR9C to look at.
That's a fantastic choice in firearm.
Yeah.
Yep.
You should price definitely give one a try.
I actually had looked at one of those online. Actually, I'd been looking at Ruger online, and there was another one that I'd been looking at because I was looking at the Taurus as well. My next-door neighbor, she's all of, like, 4'8 and probably 102 pounds soaking wet, but she carries a Taurus 738, and it's just the right size. It's kind of a nice little lady gun, so.
Hmm. So yeah. You got the High Point 380, but I understand that's not your everyday carry?
No, actually, I'm kind of going a little old school, carrying a pistol that belongs to my dad. It's a two-shot 22 Derringer, and it's teeny tiny, but it's kind of cool. So,
just in case you wanted to irritate somebody.
Ow, that stings. Ow, not Derringer 22. Ow.
Look, if you ever shoot me with that thing and I find out about it, I'm going to be mad.
Well, quite frankly, if you know where to aim, then it's going to deter them.
It's funny because I'm the 22 guy on the show here, and I'm actually like the most likely to carry a 22 if I were to ever, you know, out of the three of us, I'd be the one carrying the 22 if one of us were to. So yeah, I shouldn't judge and make fun, but it is kind of funny. No, 22s are a lot more powerful than people give them credit for. You know, and we've always said we'd much rather you carry a 22 than leave your 45 at home. I mean,
my 380. While I do like it, it's a little bulkier than what I want to be carrying with me.
I'm looking at pictures of it online here, and I have to tell you, for a 380, that is a huge gun.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit big. But it is. That's why I wanted something that's a little smaller that fits a little better in my hand. This one, I have no problem shooting it, but it's my, like I told Trevor, it's my beside the bed loaded pistol.
Right.
Because you never know.
Oh, that, absolutely. Yeah.
That's why we have smoke detectors and fire extinguishers, because you never know.
That's so right. Paranoia keeps us safe.
Well, being prepared keeps us safe. It's another piece of safety equipment is what it is. So, I don't mind the fact that you're carrying a 22. My only concern about that particular choice is the lack of capacity. I'd sooner see you carrying a semi-automatic 22 than a two-shot 22.
Well, that's why it's only for, you know, the time being, and it's more of a, you know, deterrent. It's one I don't believe I'm going to need it, but I'd rather have it there just in case, and hopefully in the next few months I'll have the money set aside in order to buy something new that's a little bit bigger than that. So.
Well, and there are a lot of mouse guns out there now. There's the M&P or the Smith & Wesson. What's it called? The Bodyguard, guys?
The Bodyguard, yep.
There's the Bodyguard, yeah, Shield.
The LC9 or the
LCP,
either of those would be good choices as well. The LCP is a 380 as well, and it's probably about the same size as your Derringer. It's very small.
Yeah, that's where you want to be looking at.
Yeah, my brother wanted me to look at Chiapas, so I haven't had a chance to go look at them.
Interesting. I didn't know Chiapa made a 380.
Yeah, there's not a Chiapa that comes to mind.
Well, I think I was going to say, aren't they nines?
Well,
oh, okay.
Could all be. Kinds of, yeah, different.
So he was thinking, you know, a Chiapa 9 would be, might be ideal, but it's not something that I've seen or picked up, and for me it's really, you know, I want something that I'm comfortable with.
Mm. Now, you shot the 357 Magnum and you enjoyed that. Yep. There's some recoil to it, but of course it's a heavy It's a heavy firearm. When you start getting into these little guns, even 9mm, you might find them snappy. So definitely see if you can test them out before you buy them. Because if you're not accurate with it, and if you're adverse to the recoil or recoil sensitive, you might just be better off staying with your two-shot Derringer and putting two center mass hits than going to a 9mm, but being, you know, adverse to the recoil and not being able to hit anything, because when you shoot at the range, you find it too snappy. So that's right. My recommendation. If you can, test fire first.
Well, there is a place down here that my brother tends to go to often, and they will actually let you test fire a lot of different things before you buy, which is great.
Awesome. You might want to look at a Glock 26 if you find the Glock 19 is too big. The Glock 19 is the compact 9mm. The Glock 26 is the subcompact 9mm, and it's very small, but still has, I'm sure it's got 10-round capacity at least.
Nice. Yeah. I'll definitely look into that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I have a question.
Sure.
What would you, let me see if I can phrase this right, if you had to say one thing, or what would you say to other women who are maybe interested in shooting but not really sure, what would you say to them to convince them or to encourage them to take up shooting either as a sport or simply as a skill?
What would I say? Other than the fact that, yes, it's fun, yes, it's a great confidence booster, it's definitely, you know, if it's something that you're interested in, just go for it. Even if there's, you know, a course that lets you, you know, like a one-day course that lets you just try it, I think that right there would convince a lot of women. Just being able to go once, I think they would go back.
Right, so just try it.
Just try it. Because, I mean, a lot of women have a fear of, you know, because it's too much power. But once, you know, I've been with some women who have, you know, have tried it, and they're like, this is cool, this is great, and then they keep doing it, and they just get more confident in their skill, and it also, you know, brings up the confidence in them, you know, in other areas, aspects of their life, so.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so I guess some follow-up questions for your concealed carry. Just out of curiosity, have you ever come into any sort of situation where you thought you might need to use your firearm for self-defense?
I have not, thankfully.
Very good.
I don't want to, but I like knowing that it's there if I have to.
Exactly, yeah. A lot of people say, well, if you carry a gun, you're going to end up shooting somebody. Well, you know, no, not really, because, you know, nothing changes in your life other than the fact that now you're armed. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden you go charging into bank robberies, you know. You're still, it's an everyday thing, you know. You're still an everyday person.
I can attest to that, Matthew. Tiffany carried a knife in the university, and I didn't. And I don't know of anyone that she's ever stabbed.
That's
so
true.
She was carrying a knife where she was carrying a gun. She didn't stab anybody, so no reason to start shooting people, right, Tiff?
That's right. And Tiffany, brother gave me the knife, too.
Yeah, Tiffany had those thumb assist open up knives before I knew what the heck they were.
Very nice. So she's ahead of the game on this one then, Trev.
Absolutely. She was always all about self-defense as long as I've known her.
That's cool. Well, hey, self-defense is an important part of life.
And being
absolutely
ready for it.
Right. That's just it. I mean, if you know that you can protect yourself, then you're cautious of what you're doing every day, but at the same time, you feel comfortable going out into the world and knowing that, you know, whatever happens, you're prepared for it.
So being prepared for it leads me to my next question. You have the right to carry, but what's your opinion on training? Once you start carrying, you take on a certain responsibility. What's your opinion towards training? Do you think it should be mandatory, a certain number of hours, or not at all, or where are you with that?
Training only makes you better, obviously. I mean, practice makes perfect, but putting a mandatory, you know, stigma on training, it kind of goes against your rights. I mean, you shouldn't have to, I mean, yes, it is a you know, a privilege to be able to shoot. It is a responsibility, but once you start mandating things, then it starts getting complicated. I think refresher courses, you know, maybe down here in Maine, we have to, renew our permits every 4 years. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to say, well, you know, we require a refresher course. It's not really, you know, the full-on CCW course. It's not, you know, super expensive. But I really don't think something like that would fly down in the States because, again, it's the whole rights issue. But offering refresher courses, I think a lot of the smaller gun clubs might do well with that just because it just helps people to, you know, if they don't get out and shoot enough, you know, if somebody gets their CCW and, you know, it's like, all right, I'm good, I don't need to go out and practice, then, you know, that kind of defeats the purpose. But offering refresher courses might behoove a lot of the smaller clubs, and a lot of people might end up taking them just as a, hey, yeah, you know, that's a good idea.
Mm. If I was an American, I would say that I shouldn't be forced to. However, right, there's a lawyer attached to every bullet, and it's in my best interest to be as proficient with that firearm as possible, because not only is it going to save my life if I need it, but I could avoid a lot of lawsuits and a lot of legal complications if I'm just proficient with it. You know, if you draw the handgun and you miss the assailant and you shoot an innocent bystander because you're a horrible shot, well, you've ruined
a couple of,
So it's the kind of thing I would hope that most people would just naturally not need to be told to go train.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we drive our cars every day, right? So we practice that every day, but we don't shoot our guns every day.
Right.
But some people drive the car and carry the gun every day, but you're only using one of them. So not the best analogy, but...
No, it sort of makes sense, Trevor. No, it does. I mean, yeah, we get training to get our driver's license, but then you don't have to take another course. For your firearms. Yeah, but you use the car every day, so you don't lose that skill. We've always said that shooting is a perishable skill. You don't practice, you get worse at it. I mean, you're not going to forget how, but you get worse at it. So, I'm all for... Now, again, Tiff, like you said, I don't think mandatory is the right word there, but strongly encouraged. I think everybody should be, you know, continuously training with their firearm, especially if they're carrying it on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. That's why I like the idea of a refresher course. A lot of, you know, the smaller clubs, they do, you know, like the hunting courses they offer. You can take them for $5, and it's a, you know, so many week training. Even if you just did a one-day refresher course, you know, through the local club, you bring in somebody who, you know, can walk you through it, you know, you get back into the game, you want to get back out and be, you know, back on the course, back on the range and, you know, shooting again. So it might actually spark people to really get back out there if they've been slack in, you know, in shooting.
Yep, I agree. So, very good.
Tiff, can you walk us through what you had to go through to get your CCW in the state of Maine?
Actually, it wasn't that difficult. There's a local place that offered the course. I think it was $125 or $150. It was a full one-day course. They do the NRA training. They run you through, you know, how to take apart a pistol, how to load, all the different, you know, all the different scenarios that could come up, for if you had to use your pistol. They also took you down to the range, let you shoot, so you get, you know, the real feel for the gun, you know, a gun. And then you had to take a test. And once you pass the test, then you have to either send in your application with a picture ID the permit fee to the state police, or there are certain towns in Maine that are grandfathered in and will issue them through the town office. And then they send, you know, the background check, all that all that stuff up to the state police and get it back, and then give you a little paper certificate. And that's what my town does.
So that's not terribly difficult then.
No.
Most people can get through that without much trouble.
Oh, yeah. So long as they don't have a background that pops up and gives the state police pause to say, no, I don't think so.
Right.
Then, yeah, absolutely, it's easy.
So basically you can't be a felon.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
They frown on that.
Yeah, so, they probably would.
Tiff, if you ever get a chance, I don't think you need to take the full course, the MAG 40, but you know, as you know, I went to take the Masada U MAG 40 class. You
yes,
might really enjoy... Pardon me?
I said yes, and I was jealous.
Oh, yeah. you may enjoy the MAG 20. The MAG 20 is just the classroom portion with all the legal side of it, and it's invaluable. Invaluable.
Wow.
Yeah, it really, 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 really prepares you from the second you make the initial call to 911 to when you're on the stand being cross-examined by a malicious prosecutor.
Wow.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, they pretty much are. But, no,
awesome.
It's,
hey, I work for lawyers.
Yeah, there you go. No, if ever you get a chance, Tiffany, I highly recommend taking MAG 20. Well, if you can, take MAG 40, but if you can't, at least take MAG 20.
Oh, yes, cool. I would love to take MAG 40. My brother was beyond jealous that you got to meet Masada Yu. Oh,
yeah.
So jealous.
Yeah,
well, he does awesome. He does courses. I know last year he did a course in New Hampshire, which, you know, isn't much of a drive from where you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he is out east different times. I've been kind of watching my chance to try to get one when he's out on the East Coast somewhere. But,
yeah.
Cool.
I'm going to have to keep an eye on that, too, and start saving the pennies.
Yeah.
I took more away from the classroom portion than I did the range portion. Even though it dealt with, self-defense shooting in the United States, a lot of the law is old law that's common to Commonwealth countries and the United States, and a lot of it actually did apply to Canada, especially being involved in a shooting in your home.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Well, and what you do and how you behave everywhere is going to be the same.
That's universal.
Yeah.
That's right. What you say. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very true.
Well, on that free advertising spot for MAG 40, Tiff, I want to thank you for coming on the show with us tonight. It was really insightful to you know, be able to speak with you about this topic. So, thanks. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. It was really fun.
Make sure you get out there and keep shooting, and please go find a better gun.
That's awful. And
I'll let you know when I find it.
Oh, good. We'd like to hear. Let us know when you do decide on your new firearm, and we'd love to hear about it for sure.
And Matthew can tell you everything that's wrong with that.
Well, that's good.
And Tiff, you'll be proud to know you're the first female guest on any Canadian podcast, as far as I know.
Oh.
No, that's not true. Nicole Dixon was on CRR.
Oh,
yeah.
You're the second. You're the second female, but the first female on.
No, that's not true either, because we had Megan Heineke on CRR too. She's a biathlete.
I said on Slamfire Radio.
You said second on Canadian podcast.
Okay, well, fine. You're the third female.
No, that's not true either.
Wait, am I the first American at least?
No.
Am I the first American female?
Yeah, yes. There you go.
There you go.
Wait.
All right.
All right, now I have the distinction.
Well, except for Matthew, you're the first female to be on Slamfire Radio.
Oh, you're funny, Trevor. All right. Well, again, thanks, Tiffany. We'll hopefully we'll talk to you soon again once you pick out a new gun.
Okay, thank you. I look forward to it.
Thanks a lot, Tiff. It was good talking to you.
You too, guys. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
And we're back. So again, just wanted to thank Tiffany for joining us on the show and talking to us a little bit about CCW and the horrible gun that is the high
and
point.
Tiffany could have told so many embarrassing roommate stories from back in the day when I was in my 20s. That was like, what, 40 years ago?
And we're so sad that she didn't, really, basically. I can't wait for this picture to show up.
That picture shows up. She knows retribution will be severe.
Swift and deliberate.
That's funny.
Cool. Well, I guess that brings us into some feedback, and we got a bit of feedback, at least two correspondences with regards attacking me because I'm dumb.
We all agreed with you, so...
We're all dumb. No. That being said, we'll go through it, and then we'll talk about it, and we'll have a little discussion, and see if we can't come to some sort of agreement.
No, we won't.
We'll agree that these guys
are not true at all. Probably tell him he's wrong.
Yeah.
Let's see if that happens. So, Owen, want to bring us this first one from Brian?
He says, "Gentlemen." Oh, actually, sorry. He says, "Gentleman." So he must be talking to me. I must politely. I must say politely that I strongly disagree with your rationale for using the forward assist on an AR. Well, kinda, I guess, as long as you aren't offended.
Well, we are, so let's move on to this next email from...
He must be kind of scared of us. He's really kind of tippy-toeing around this issue.
As long as we're not offended. I don't get offended.
I get even.
Often.
Matt. When you...
It's Matthew, but okay.
Matt. He says Matt, so take that up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
When you get to know the platform better, you will stop feeling the need for a press check unless you are trying to close the bolt on a round in a very slow, quiet fashion.
Clearly, he doesn't understand the purpose of a press check.
Yeah. Regular, robust weapon manipulation will result in a positive closing of the bolt, or you will hear the sound of a problem. Honestly, you will get to know the sounds of a happy AR and an unhappy AR.
And you're probably right, Brian. I am kind of new to the platform, and I'm sure that you can probably put in a magazine, close the bolt, and tell if it loaded around or not.
Yeah, I can.
I can do that with some of my guns. My AR, not yet, but I'm sure one day I will be able to, and at that point, maybe I'll stop using my...
Matt, can you tell when you fire the last round?
Yes,
they
definitely.
You can definitely feel a difference and hear a difference. And you can, in my opinion, I can hear a difference. When the bolt slams good or not good, I can tell the difference.
Right.
Anyway.
Yep.
But I don't...
Now, remember that I just got my AR set up to where I like it.
I still do a press check.
I haven't been...
Still do it. Because I don't ever want to take the chance that it goes click when it's supposed to go bang. That's a bad...
Right. And we do have recommendation from another listener in a minute where he gives us another idea for checking that, and we'll get to that in a minute. So let's continue on with Brian.
He says, "Owen, your source for what the military does is very different than mine. I have to conclude that there are different schools of thought about the standard manual of arms in the Canadian Forces. None of the soldiers I shoot with use the forward assist at all. I find that interesting. I double-checked with my source today, and he assured me, and he went through the entire thing with me, right from the whole process, and assured me that using the manual assist very hard is part of what he was taught in the manual of arms. Now, maybe Brian shoots with a bunch of old fogies that didn't do it that way years ago. Maybe it's something that's changed. I don't know. This guy is very recently out of the military, and so I assume he knows what he's talking about.
And Canadian military, right?
Yes,
not American military. Because there may be differences there, too.
He was a Canadian combat engineer. So.
Okay. Interesting.
Trevor, if I forget what you said about using a forward assist, or he says, if... What?
If I forgot.
No, he says, he meant to say, I forgot.
I forgot what you said about... Well, why didn't he say that? Anyway.
Well, clearly he made a mistake. Yeah.
I forgot. See, Trevor should be reading this part. He wrote it like Trevor would read it.
Listen, Mr. Eloquent over here.
I forgot what you said about using a forward assist.
Have you heard yourself read? Really?
But I'm going to assume you are wrong as well. It's funnier that way, at least.
It's funnier both ways, whether you write it right or write it wrong or read it right or read it wrong. It's all funny.
In the end, run your rifles the way you want. Be safe, have fun, and take somebody named Ron Burgundy shooting. From the Conquistador.
Oh, very nice. Yep, whether or not you use the forward assist, I use it for the reasons I specified earlier. Owen uses it. Well, he doesn't because he doesn't have one, but if he did, I think he would use it.
I will on my new...
For the same reasons. Yep. And you know, there is another way of doing that to ensure that the round is seated, and that comes to us from Smack Daddy on CGN.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about this, actually, but we'll just read it in his email.
Yeah. Trevor, do you want to read it?
Smack Daddy says, "Hey, guys, listening to the episode right now, it's awesome.
But that's pretty cool because we're just recording it right now. So
you must have one of them TARDIS thingies."
Yes.
I'm into it now, by the way, Matthew.
I knew it wouldn't take long. I knew it wouldn't take long.
I know. I did. I had questions answered. I didn't know he was an alien.
There you go.
Have you seen him? Like, have you looked at him?
Oh, well, that's a good point.
Go ahead.
He says, it's awesome as always. As an AR-15 guy since the 80s, I have to comment on two things. One, I would love to get an AR-15 with no forward assist, unless useless in my mind. It's extra dead weight.
Sold.
Two, press checks are bad for two reasons. One, they largely rely on vision, doesn't work in the dark. And two, they can actually, that was in brackets, by the way, because the viewers can't see the brackets. So.
No, I held my mic up to it so they could see.
Though.
Yeah, while you were reading. No, just quietly.
So, one, they largely rely on vision, which, you know, you can't tell at night. And two, they can actually cause failures if you don't get that round seated properly with the useless forward assist. You are always way better off to let the inertia of the bolt to seat the round. If you want to confirm the round was fed successfully, before you insert the magazine, note which side, left or right, the top round is. If you can do this visually or in pitch black with your fingers, insert the magazine, rack it, pull the mag. If the top round is on the opposite side, again, this can be done in the pitch black. You have one in the chamber. So what he's saying there is, if when your magazine is full, the topmost round in the magazine is on the left side, put the mag in the gun, drop the bolt, the round's going to chamber, you think, drop the mag, and then if it's daytime, you look at the mag, and you can see if the round's been stripped off, because now the top round will be on the opposite side of where it was before you chambered it. And if it's dark, you just feel for it, and it's going to, you'll feel it on the opposite side. So that's interesting.
That's how Travis Haley teaches.
Oh, really? And Chris Costa is all about the press check.
Yep. And see, now a proper press check, there's a reason it's called a press check. And this is how the RCMP do it as well, from my understanding, is they actually physically press. They actually physically pull back the slide and put their finger into the chamber and do an actual physical press check with their finger. Now, that's not maybe as practical with an AR, but with their pistols, that's how they do it. But most people just teach it that you just pull it back slightly, see that the round is there, and release. I like to pull back about half the distance of the round so that I still have some inertia. I can then release the charging handle, and it will still have some space to slam home.
Hmm. You know, just to make sure. Yep. Now, here's the reason why I don't use the mag thing. Because I have the memory of a goldfish. I look at the mag and I say, okay, the round's on the left. I put it in the gun, cycle the bolt, pull it back out, and go, oh, crap, which side was that bullet on?
If you did it enough times, it would become habit.
I mean, it doesn't make one bit of difference whether – it doesn't make one bit of difference because what magazine it is. You look at it before you put it in. You feel it before you put it in. Because you're not always going to pick up a magazine that has the same number of rounds in it. You may pick up a magazine – you know, if you're in the States, you might pick up a magazine that only had about 28 rounds or 29 rounds in it. It's not always going to be the same. And you want to check no matter what, because you don't ever want to take for granted you've got
a full
number of rounds that you think. That's right.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And, you know, and that's one way of doing it, and that's actually it's a great way of doing it.
If you have time,
I've never had a.
If you have the time to do that, I think that's fine.
Sure, and there may be times when, you know, if you're running and gunning, like in a competition, I'm not going to do a press check when I do a reload. You know, that's just before I start the stage, and it's for the same reason I press check my pistol before every stage, is to make sure I have a round in the chamber. You know, using the forward assist for me, it works on my gun the way it's designed to work. I've had no problems with it. I don't know why I would stop. I know it wasn't designed originally in the gun, but it's there now. This may not be, you know, the common viewpoints of most AR shooters, but at least for me it works. And so, like Brian said, you know, shoot your rifle the way you want, be safe and have fun. And so that's what I plan on doing. There, you know, like Smack Daddy says here, though, there's another way of doing it, and that's great if you have a memory longer than 3.8 seconds.
What
you know, and getting used to that system would work too.
Yep, what you're talking about is an admin reload. when you do an admin reload, you know, at the very beginning when there's no threat, there's no issue, there's, you know, the beginning of your day, you're picking up your pistol.
You're loading it, you're verifying
it's
loaded.
You're going to double check everything because it has to work the very first time you pull it out.
That's right.
Yep.
So anyway, I'm sure we did not put that issue to rest at all because we never do. But I mean, these are, like we say at the beginning of the show, these are our opinions and we're probably wrong, but you know, whatever. You guys, your opinions are valued too. And we thank you guys for writing in because it gives us something to talk about. So, all right, this next one comes to us from Jason Philp, and Jason was on the show, was it last week?
How come you get to read the audio submission? That's cheating.
Because I'm that good. All right, Jason, take it away.
Hello, podcast listeners. Jason Philp calling back from Alberta. Give a little bit of thanks to Matthew McClatchy for his dedication to the Mariner, the shotgun episode, just staying with the theme. Except the gentleman from Ontario that was going down to Ohio to hunt deer was trying to stay out of the Grand Marnier. It's a liqueur. I understand you work for the school division and have a public image to represent, but I can't believe you haven't heard of Grand Marnier. Come on out for a sporting clay shoot. We'd be happy to supply you with a little Grand Marnier after the shooting's over. Thanks for the time on the episode, guys. Hope to see all of you at our National FETAS Championship in Ontario or our National English Sporting Clays Championship in Hanley, Saskatchewan. Have a great day. Talk soon.
Thank you, Jason, for writing in from your truck again.
Because the audio is
that's
fabulous.
Awesome. Oh, I mean, you can't get any clearer than that.
Thank you for teaching us how to pronounce the names of alcohol.
Well, since I just read that last one, Owen, why don't you bring us this next one from Sir Richard?
Okay. From Sir Richard. I wonder if he's an actual sir.
And I wonder if Winnipeg Tony's actually from Winnipeg. Huh?
Yeah. Hi, guys. Just wondering if I can get a t-shirt. How do I send you some money?
Rewind the show about 15 minutes. Listen in.
I like your show and understand that you left Reload Radio amicably. Any idea what happened to that show and if the show is coming back?
Last I heard, Andy's just taking a break and he'll be back whenever he's ready. So stay tuned.
Yep.
That's fancy for no, we don't know.
Yeah. But hey, I heard that from a top-notch online forum.
And it must be true.
Anything online is true.
He also says it was a pleasure to meet you at the charity shoot at Galt in the summer. Guy in blue shirt in the pic. I have only started wearing the t-shirt I won there, double extra large, because I am down 50 pounds from that date.
Must be keep nice. I'm up 50.
Keep up the great show. Pretty soon you guys will be able to trade shirts. Keep up the great show, Sir Richard.
Cool. Well, I looked at the picture from the Slamfire shoot. Or Slamfire shoot. I can't even speak right. From the charity shoot there in Galt. And there's more than one guy in a blue shirt, so... I just have to assume you are multiple personality disorder.
That's just
makes sense, right?
Disorder shows up in multiple times in a photograph.
Well, it's a very strong disorder.
That's what they said.
I guess so. Awesome. All right. Well, this next one comes to us from Brandon Henney. He says, "Hey guys, love the show. Thanks. I've been listening to you guys for as long as I can remember, and your memory is going to get shorter and shorter as time goes on, and you continue to listen to us." I'm just saying. I really love what you've done with Slamfire, and I hope you keep the craziness alive for years to come. I even have my wife hooked on the show. Hey, welcome to the show, Brandon's wife. Nice to have you listening.
I'll get her name. Hold on, Brandon's on my Facebook. Give her a shout out.
Oh, good. That's not creepy at all. I mean, let's keep this. Let's how you doing, Brandon's wife?
Nice.
So this is the guy who wants a green t-shirt and a purple one. Well, for his wife. Now my wife's gonna say high five to your wife because she loves purple too and wants a purple one. So if my wife gets a purple one, chances are your wife's
Robin.
Getting a purple one. So
yeah, Robin. Hey, Robin.
How you doing? Yeah, that's not creepy at all. Yeah, we're going to cut that out right away. Now. Yeah, we both want to spread the good word around our town of Nelson, B.C., says Brandon. Thanks for everything. And
you're welcome.
So, cool. Their wedding photos, they've got tuxes on and shotgun photos at the gun range. That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Shotgun wedding.
Yeah.
This last one, Trevor from Winnipeg Tony.
All right. So, Winnipeg Tony, is that your real name? This is
And are you really from Winnipeg? Just asking.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to confirm that I'm in on the list for the event next August. He's talking about the Tommy course. I also want to thank you guys again for all the effort you guys put into your podcast. Really.
Effort? What? who didn't tell me about this effort we were supposed to be putting in?
And just for fun, I'm attaching a picture of my first buck I took this year with my friend's 50 cal muzzle loader. Have you guys looked at this picture?
No.
I have not, no.
It's a monster. It's a nice dark chocolate-colored rack. It's minimum 10 points. Go check out the picture. We should post it on our Facebook page.
Nice.
Don't tell me what to do.
It is a really, really nice specimen. It would be like awesome. A dream buck for me. If that was the only buck I ever shot, I would die happy.
Have you ever shot a buck before?
All right.
No, just that one doe.
All right.
That was awkward.
Now
Matthew
now
was
we're
doing
into...
something instead of moving the show along.
No, I just want to leave you hanging there. I was actually looking for his email, but it's not in the email.
Oh, it's archived.
So I don't know. I looked in the archives, didn't see it there. Okay, I don't believe you. But do we have an iTunes review
this
week?
Yeah, it's there somewhere. I just haven't looked at it yet.
So we're not going to do an iTunes review this week? Good enough. Didn't really want to anyway.
We are horrible. We don't deserve any listeners.
Yes, we do. Probably, maybe. All right. Shout-outs. I actually have a shout-out. I have two. Actually, technically four.
Count potato? I have potato shout-outs.
Okay, you need to fix your mic again because I got an echo.
Put
so anyway, Luke, I'm looking at you, buddy. Get your head back underneath that blanket. That sounded weird. Okay, so to Travis K. Travis was the nice gentleman who invited me down to Moncton back when I was hosting Canadian Reload Radio, and we toured around Moncton for the afternoon, I believe, and went to different gun stores and just talked guns and stuff. Anyway, apparently he's back in Moncton, and he took his wife and his mother to go get their PALs. So they went to the firearms course, and I heard about this because Jason Gallen was their instructor. So I didn't know that Jason Gallen was an instructor, so that's
awesome.
Cool too. So a shout out to Gallen, of course, for being awesome the way he is. Actually, I think Owen and I are going to be going down to hang out with him over the Christmas break, so maybe we'll get some audio from him and toss it on the show at some point. Then again, maybe we won't because I never follow through with my promises. But anyway, Travis, awesome. Good on you, man. Good on your wife. Good on your mom. All getting your pals. That's fantastic. So I'm happy you guys are still listening. So that's great. That's my shout out. So I guess whoever's typing Toby, thanks for the sleepover. It's your turn.
I've got two shout outs. That's not what they say.
Oh, those are separate.
One is to Toby, so thank you for the targets. I forgot to mention when Toby mailed me a package from the States a couple of weeks back, he included some really awesome scaled targets. So you've got a sight picture on the target. Let's say you put it up at 25. And what you see while aiming is a scaled down version of what it would be at 400, let's say. So those are pretty neat. I think I'm supposed to share with you guys, and we both know that's not going to happen.
Probably not, no.
And to Filthy, thanks for inviting me over for a sleepover, dude. I will see you tomorrow night at this time. Yep.
Okay, again, awkward.
Oh, yeah. At this time, tomorrow night, I'll be at Filthy, sitting in a lazy boy with a grand across my lap, watching Band of Brothers with a glass of Jameson's whiskey in one hand and probably a beer in the other.
Okay.
Because why not? Because
I'm a man, damn it. I'm a grown-ass man.
Cool. All right. Owen, you got any shout-outs there?
No shout-outs this week.
How about you, Echo Luke?
Wait, am I still echoey?
No, okay, not anymore. Better. It wasn't you ever that was echoey. It was always Trevor.
Always,
Trevor's the one that was messing us up.
It's always Trevor's fault.
It certainly is. You got any shout-outs?
Yeah, it's a shout-out that I wanted last week, but Trevor and I last time I was on, Trevor and I got cut off. I wanted to thank everybody who's actually purchased or placed orders for some LHS holsters, Owen included. So I wanted to give everybody a thanks for that because it's something that's fairly new to the market, and everybody who's more or less given us a little bit of their faith. We'll deliver on that, and hopefully everything will develop into some bigger and better sales for all that stuff. So thanks.
Very cool.
So if you were delivering stuff to Trevor.
I wish those were holsters. No,
they were holsters.
but they were different holsters.
They were the wrong kind.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I've actually checked in again with the distributor, with Dave, and his goal as well is to have everyone with their holsters before Christmas. In as far as we understand at the moment, the order should be arriving in Canada next week. And once it arrives, Dave is going to be shipping it all out to all the dealers. And as soon as I get it, I will be personally delivering the holsters.
Cool, cool. All right, Owen, did you have any? No? All right, good enough. Well, it's done it again. You've wasted 90 minutes of your time listening to us. Sorry. We're happy you did, though, and we're sorry.
If you're new to the show through, because of our new network, what's it called again, Matthew?
We're going to get to that in just a minute. Yeah.
Forget I said anything.
Thanks for cutting in there. No, it's too late. It's out there. Big old matzo ball. Seinfeld fans will get that joke. Anyway, be sure to join one of or both of our National Firearms Associations, the CSSA and the NFA. Trevor has done it recently. So should you. So should I, because I dropped the ball and I'm no longer a member of either. Curses. So I will get that done this week. I promise. Also, and that's the end of the show. Goodbye. also check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. We have our own little forum on there as well on CGN. You can go in there and comment. Basically, we ignore those, though. Make sure if you want to get a hold of us, email us.
We
do. Email or Facebook's the best way to get a hold of us, but as you could tell, I mean, we got Smack Daddy's in, and he just put it on CGN, so that does work sometimes, but we make no promises. We do have a Facebook page. Go over there. Hit the like. We're at 304. So when we get four more, we'll be at 308, and that's a caliber, and that's awesome.
We should
awesome.
Hold it right so. There for as long as possible.
Why don't we do one of those contests when we reach 308?
That's a great idea. You send – if you're the 308th like, I don't have no idea how I'll figure it out, but if you are, I will send you an empty 308 casing. Perfect. In the mail. And I'll sign it. Somehow. So like Trevor leaked there a minute ago, because, you know, it's totally a leak because it hasn't been out, you know, for the last two shows. Oh, wait, it has. We are now a member of the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, also known as WRVO Radio Network. It's found at renovioloutdoors.com. You can listen live to dozens of Canadian-based outdoor podcasts. It's got stuff like fishing, scuba diving, boating, and now guns. Unfortunately, it's just us that's talking about the guns right now, so all you're basically getting is more of us, which, how could you go wrong, basically?
By going right.
Yeah, go right. You know, two wrongs don't make a right, but three lefts do.
Going left would be wrong, wouldn't it?
It could be, especially if you're on the political spectrum. So... anyway, don't forget also we're on the Crusader Podcast Network, which of course features a baker's dozen of American and Canadian pro gun podcasts. And all kinds of good shows on there. So go check them out. I hear even the Warriors Ethos podcast is making a comeback here shortly. Isn't that right, Owen?
You're right. Podcast.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure it was podcast. Yeah, I just didn't know.
If I could have time. That is the great... That's West the plan. Is to have time.
They keep pushing them. The stuff I want to hear about.
I know.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't have to do this podcast, see?
Well, that's it. You're fired.
Get back to work on your own show.
Goodbye.
Darn it.
Cool. All right. Well, anyway, guys, say goodbye.
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 Bye.
And Trevor?
I'm Trevor. I know. That's true. I changed the photo this week and everything in honor of the new movie that's coming out. I'm Ron Burgundy.
And you should take him shooting.
Oh, I forgot that. Take Ron Burgundy shooting.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.